Pretty good. First off, I think my guests must not have heard the announcement this morning that I was given a four-hour documentary on the landing of the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock, but they came anyway, so I thank them for being here, and I thank each one of you for being here. With Thanksgiving being this week, I wanted to talk about giving thanks and being thankful and having a heart of gratitude. But first, it's hard to talk about Thanksgiving without talking about food. When I was growing up, we'd gather at my granny's house for our Thanksgiving meal, and she would fix the turkey dressing, some of the best turkey dressing you've ever eaten, and it's tried to be duplicated because it's that good. But of course, we would have the ham and the corn and all the other fixings, and then we would have all the different things there. And now my brother is deep frying the turkeys because, you know, anything is better deep fried anymore, so now we get the deep fried turkeys. But my aunt would make the best sweet potato casserole you have ever eaten. Every November, I wish that I could take as much money as I could invest in the brown sugar commodities because it was so good, and there is no way there's a bag of brown sugar left on the grocery store shelves when she would go and make her grocery run. Her sweet potato casserole was kind of like a creme brulee of casseroles. You would take your spoon and you would break through the crust of the pecans and the brown sugar crust to get to the sweetness of the sweet potatoes. And speaking of potatoes, can't leave out the staple of mashed potatoes. Now, this is just a side note, has nothing to do with the lesson, but this is the first time you've ever cooked mashed potatoes and you're in charge of that for this Thanksgiving, there's some real important rules to making mashed potatoes. First, you peel the potatoes, then you cube the potatoes, but then you cook the potatoes before you mash them. This is Kim's favorite story about me the first time that I tried to make mashed potatoes because I ruined a perfectly good blender and beaters without cooking them before I beat them. Now, I'm not saying it can't be done because I did it, but it's a whole lot more creamier and easier if you would cook the potatoes first. Getting back to our Thanksgiving dinner, on those sweet potato casserole, I would eat a helping of sweet potatoes during the meal. I would, of course, go back for seconds. And sometimes I would eat another helping for my dessert because that sweet potato casserole fit in all the food categories. But speaking of desserts, we had a load of desserts for Thanksgiving. We would have pecan pie. We would have pumpkin pie, and then we'd have my granny's favorite dish, or best dish, is the fried apple pies. And you know the secret ingredient to fried apple pies is a lard and a cast iron skillet. Not only was the meal so good, and we would go back for seconds, and the desserts were so good, and we would eat way too much, but then there was the leftovers. Except for the fried apple pies, there usually wasn't many of the fried apple pies left. Except my granny, the morning before, she would actually make some extras and put them off to the side. And then when we would leave, she'd always sneak those fried apple pies in my to-go box. And I'm pretty sure everybody knew that I got the extras. But there was always extras and there was always leftovers. And I'm not ashamed to say, even on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I'm still eating Sunday leftovers from Thanksgiving because leftovers are so good. There's a great story actually in the Bible about leftovers. In Luke chapter 9 verses 10 through 17, it tells when the multitude had gathered together, there was about 5,000, the disciples asked Jesus to send them away to eat because they didn't have enough food for them. But instead, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked to heaven and gave thanks. And after everyone was full, the disciples went around and picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And in Matthew chapter 15, when he took the 7 loaves and a few small fish, after he gave thanks and they ate, this time they picked up 7 basketfuls of leftovers. Notice when Jesus gave thanks for what they did have, they were filled and had more leftover. It kind of makes you think that we have more than enough for what we need. Like in the 23rd Psalm, in the very first verse, it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." just a few verses down below that in verse 5, my cup runneth over. Or in Luke chapter 6, when it says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and it will be poured into your lap. Also in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It is said that the greatest virtue is gratitude. We know the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It may seem that gratitude is left out of that list, but I think that we can't have the qualities of the fruits of the Spirit without having gratitude. Each one relies on gratitude to be accomplished. It reminds me of this story about a man that lived in a little village in a little hollow. He was just downstream of the dam, and the dam was getting weaker. And so they were trying to evacuate the little town. So first the policeman came by, and he told the man, he said, we need to evacuate. The dam's going to break, and this area is going to flood. And the guy said, no, I have faith in my God. He's going to save me. So the policeman left. Later, a fireman came by and he said, hey, we've got to get everybody out. You're going to have to be evacuated or the dam's going to break. And it's already starting to leak now and water's coming in. He's like, no, no, I have faith in my God and that he will save me. So the water level began to rise and the guy moved all the way up to the second floor. So a guy came by in a boat to rescue him. A rescuer came through and said, sir, you need to get in the boat. We're going to have to take you out of here or the village is going to be flooded. And he said, no, no, I have faith in my God. He's going to save me. Well, the water level got even higher, and the guy got all the way up on the roof. Helicopter comes by with a ladder hanging down. And he's from the intercom. They're like, sir, get on the ladder. We're going to take you to safety. He's like, no, no, that's okay. I have faith in my God. He's going to save me. So the dam eventually broke, washed the city away, and the man drowned. So he gets up to heaven, and he tells God. He's like, God, I told all these people about this great faith that I have in you. Why did you not save me? He said, well, I sent you a policeman, a fireman, a boat, and a helicopter. What else do you want me to do? Without the heart of gratitude, we can sometimes miss the blessings that we receive. We all know the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever thought how long that would take? We say that we're so thankful for like our family and our health and our church, but a lot of times we generalize so we don't have to itemize. Think about that a second. Sometimes we generalize so we don't have to itemize. It's not just our family, our whole family that we're thankful for. We're thankful for our spouse. And it's not just our children, but it's each child. It's not just our parents and our grandparents, but it's each one of those. Same thing with our church. It's not just the building or the group of people. It's each individual person. We also have the opportunity to sing songs of praise. We have the blessing of gathering around the Lord's table. We also have the blessing of the avenue of prayer. Think about that. What a great blessing that is, the ability to talk to God. So don't take for granted all of the blessings that God has given us. In Luke chapter 17, it tells of 10 men with leprosy who called out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Jesus asked, weren't there 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? The scripture doesn't give us the details of the other 9's experiences, but we can speculate from our own experiences when things have changed our situation. One commentator speculated and said, one of them may have said, well, I wasn't that sick anyway. Or maybe another one said, well, I was almost better by myself. Or any priest could have done that. Or maybe they thought it wasn't convenient to have to go all the way back. Or maybe they were just too proud or self-conscious. That kind of reminds me of the story of the man that was working up on the tin roof. And if you've ever worked up on a metal roof, and you know the dangers of that. So the guy's up there working, and he loses his foothold, and he starts to slide off. And he looks up to heaven, and he says, "God, look, I'm not the perfect man, but if you will save me from falling off this roof, I will be in your debt forever, and I'll do anything that you ask me." About that time, old rusty nail was sticking up, caught the man by the breeches leg, and at the last second caught him before he went off the roof. And the man looked back up to heaven and said, "That's all right, God, this old rusty nail got me. I'll be okay." Think of all the blessings that we receive that we may have missed or we may have discounted. Many of you know that I enjoy poetry. So in conclusion, I would like to look at some of the poetry of the Psalms that are filled throughout the Psalms of Thanksgiving. In Psalms chapter 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." In Psalm 75, 1, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near." In Psalm 136, 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is God. His love endures forever." In Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." In chapter 9, verse 1, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell or recount of all your wonderful deeds." Let us always count our many blessings. Several years ago, I wrote a poem about Thanksgiving, and I'd like to share that with you tonight. At the end of November, we take time to reflect on things we take for granted or even neglect. We look all around us, and we thank God above for our friends and our family that we so dearly love. We think about the air we breathe and about the food we eat. We're thankful for our homes and the church in which we meet. God gives us grace and forgiveness. He even gave his son, and words cannot thank him enough for that special one. Even an atheist cannot deny the beauty of this earth, and I am just glad we know who gave our universe its birth. I heard it once said, and maybe you have too, the best prayer offered up is, "God, I thank you." If you would like to receive the greatest blessing that God has to offer, or you want to become one of his children through baptism and begin living your life filled with the blessing that God has to offer, or if you need the prayers of this church, I ask you to come while we stand and sing.